Wake up the heart, wake up the dream. There's more to the story than what we have seen. Faith in the fire, hope in the fight, families rising,
stepping into the light, raising expectations.
Lift your eyes, lift your voice,
raising expectations.
Faith and freedom still have a choice. Here's Pastor Joe and Melba Schofield with wisdom clear and strong, with Stephanie Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer helping move the hope along. Dr. Paul Hall and Ron Greer,
standing for truth and grace.
This is your life in America today, with courage in this place. To better, best together.
Raising expectations.
Faith that carries on forever.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday night, and thanks for tuning in to your show, Raising Expectations. And it's been our prayer that all through this weekend and getting ready for this week, you've been talking to the Lord about good things in your life, and that those expectations will be raised all through the week as you listen to him speak to you, and he uses people around you who are friends to give you direction and help. It's great to be with you. We look forward to seeing you every Monday night. Actually, we don't see you, but you see us, so you're at a disadvantage. But in any event, we're sure glad that you're with us every Monday night. And we do want you to know that you've already figured this out. We are all born-again believers. We believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we believe he came to this earth to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. What a joy that brings to us, because each and every day he walks with us and he talks with us and he gives direction in our life. So when we really need to know what's happening, he's only a prayer away. So we're excited to think and pray and hope and look forward to you all knowing him. I know most of you do now, and it's a real privilege. Hey, remember this week as you're praying that our special little engineer, we've told you all about TJ Newsom, he's going a different direction. I believe, I'm not out of line to say he's going on in school, but he's just a brilliant young man. And we know that you love him and you're praying for him each and every day. So remember to pray for TJ, and we'll get reports later, see how he's doing. And we get to have his uncle. You know, BBS Radio is the most outstanding radio of its kind that you can get. Radio, TV, and it is worldwide. And his uncle and his dad, Don and Doug, have done a tremendous job with this radio TV network. And Doug's going to be with us and our engineer working and helping us in all the ways that he can to be with you each and every week. So it's great to have Doug back. So be praying for Doug each and every week also as he follows God in his life. So we want to get started tonight because we've got a great show. We got part two. You got part one before. I was a math major. You saw me figure that out. So we're going to go to part two tonight. And before we begin, we want to make sure that if you are tuning in, like many of you shared with me for the first time, that you know our team. And we're all here tonight. Sometimes we get spread out a little bit with so many things and responsibilities people have. But by the way, as we're doing our team, this is our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And on this site, which we'll show you again a little later at the end of the show, you'll be able to find all the people that are part of our team. And as we scroll down that page, you'll see the guys and the men and women who make up your Raising Expectation team. So you'll read about them, hopefully get to know them. And as many of you have shared with me, you know, contact them, send them a note, let them know you're praying, ask them to pray for you and something, because they love the Lord and they're thankful as we are for you, each and every one of you. So it's right there, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And so you'll want to check that, and that's for you on the website there each and every week. So as you know where those are now, I hope you've jotted that down. You'll get it again later. But I want to start introducing our team for you. We're going to start on my right. This is my best team member of the whole group. This is my new wife of just last October. And I went all the way to Texas to get her. And this is Melba. And she's the best you could imagine, the most wonderful, godly, loving Christian lady. You can't even imagine how special she is. So, Melba, I'm sure glad you're here with me.
Me too.
And all of them, too.
Oh, that's for sure.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. So looking at that together, we want to go together to the West Coast. And right there in Lompoc, California, just above Santa Barbara, you'll find Dr. Paul Hall. And Dr. Paul Hall's a retired pastor, and he is a wonderful man of God. He's been in the ministry many, many years. He's a retired pastor. He's a writer. He's an author. And he's located there on the West Coast. And I hope we can get his picture up. He'll be coming to you live. There he is. And he is in Lompoc, California. And he's just a great guy that we've known for many, many years. He's somebody that you can find him. There he is on the page. And we also have him on the West Coast, each of one of our key guys right there. So Paul and I go back a long time. So I hope you'll get to know him as I do, because your life will be blessed as mine and all of us on the team, ours are. So Paul's there in Lompoc, California. There he is right there. He's the guy with the raising expectations sign. Is that cool or what? I really like that. Paul, how are you doing out there?
I'm good. Thanks. Good to see y'all.
All right. Great to see you, man. Okay. Well, we're going to join together, the three of us, and we're going to skip all the way across the nation to the east side of the East Coast, the south side of it, actually. And there in Dalton, Georgia, you will find two of the most wonderful people you can imagine. You're going to find right there Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. And they're coming all the way from Dalton, Georgia. He is a surgeon. And he's a surgeon that also is a book writer. So we want you to know that Stephanie, in fact, you'll find his book right there saved on our website, Finding God in the Ordinary Things of Life. And it talks about what God has done in his life. It's really incredible once you get to know Dr. Thayer. And you realize from reading the story just what a special guy he is. And his lovely wife, she is just a great mom. She's a business graduate. She also works with two of the greatest sons I know. You can imagine, we feel like they're partially our sons. We watched them go. And hey, Stephanie, didn't they get down to that big bulldog country, UGA?
Yes, they are doing very well. And I only hear from them if they need to order books or help money.
Well, that's okay, Mom. It's a different time, but they'll be getting back to you. And they're going to be accomplishing a lot of great things there. Right, Craig? It's going to be good. And they have my high school football colors. So looking at them, I'm really impressed. I always root for those dogs. So it's going to be good. So Stephanie also does a lot of writing and counseling, helping. You could check her there like you were able to on the website. And she helps a lot of ladies with a lot of questions. But she's just a source of great encouragement, a great encourager, Zig Ziglar used to tell us. And everybody needs great encouragers in that life. She's one, and I hope all of us will be in your lives as she does also. And Dr. Craig, he's very special. The two of them have done mission work in medicine together. They've been, they've been in the Caribbean, they've been in Africa. He's done different things, helping people with his medical skills, his God-given gifts that he developed under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and God's call on his life. And You'll really appreciate getting to know this couple. So do check on them. Craig, did you have a great day yesterday? That was good. That was exciting. That was good. He's still tired from going to Georgia. Yeah, there we go. All right. Good to see you, Doc. Take care. Good to see you, man. And so we're all going to join together now because we've got the whole team tonight. And we'll all join together and make our way back across what do we got there? Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and north side of Texas. If we land in there, we'll be in McKinney, Texas. And there is where you'll find Ron Greer in McKinney, Texas, just above Dallas. Ron's he's a very special man of God, retired pastor. He ran for Congress. He's done all kinds of things in his life, always under the leadership of the Lord. And he and his wonderful wife and family, he's amazing. He helps people right now with an organization called Man in the Mirror, located there in the state of Florida, but he runs the area in Texas. And you'll see his picture there and also his website where you can find all of the things that Ron has done. Ron is a real brother in Christ, and he's definitely not shy. One of the things somebody said to me in a text, Ron, you're going to love this, but he came back to me and said, Ron is not shy, is he? And so I wrote back to him and said, well, he's working real hard on it. I thought the rest of you would like knowing that tonight. So, Ron, You're making the mark, bro. It's going good. So there you go. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm shy. So, I am.
Yes, very shy. That's
I'm working on it.
There you go. You're doing a good job, brother. All right. So, anyway, we make your Raising Expectation team, and we thank God for each and every one of you. So Tonight we've got a special guest, as you know, Terry Warner. She's part of our family. We're different than a lot of shows because on this show, we all come together. We pick certain people that have been on the program that we know have impacted your lives, that I know that you've written to me about, that you really love and appreciate these people. So we make up an extended Raising Expectations family. And we go back to those group of people once a quarter, along with new ones. We want you to know we've got what's called the golden ticket coming up here pretty soon for the Republican conservatives that are running for governor, lieutenant governor, and controller in the state of California. So you're going to want to be praying for them also coming up pretty soon. We've got a great all-state winning high school football coach from the great state of, you ready, Ron? Texas. That's where they're coming from. Yeah, there you go. So you're going to enjoy meeting Steve Greek and his wife, Daisy, and we've had their sons once. But tonight, we have back with us Terry Warner. And Terry hails from Texas, too. So it's great. She and her husband, Dave, live there in the Dallas area. And she does an incredible job as an encourager, as a builder, to inspire others to achieve all they can achieve as God works in their lives. God gives the gifts. God's ready to bless, and she inspires you to listen to what he's saying. It's great to have Terry with us. And so we want to give you, Terry, the famous round of applause and bring you on. Welcome to tonight's version of Raising Expectation. There she is, ladies and gentlemen, in the book that gives all the answers you need. It's right there.
Same cup.
Yeah. So, Terry, and she's also
got the same cup. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. All right. There you are. Good to see you, Terry. Let's do that again. A round of applause. And while we're doing this, let's thank Doug. Thanks, Doug. You're all over and you're doing a great job. We appreciate you, brother. Thanks so much for working with us tonight. That's great. So, Terry, we are all here tonight, everybody, and we're excited to hear kind of the things the Lord said in your heart. And as you shared with me, they're pretty powerful thoughts, and I think they'll bless all of us and everybody listening tonight and watching. Thanks, Terry.
Beautiful. Well, thank you very much for being here and for all of you being here. And glad we're all together.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, before, you know, we schedule these Zooms and then we reschedule the Zooms sometimes, which is fine. And life gets in the way of everything. And tonight I really had thought about something else, and the Lord just brought me back to a place of discussing something I feel like is very timely, and some of it a little tenacious, but you know, I can't tell you, that's just the way it happens, right, Ron? Ron and I have had some conversations, and I was not the one that said that, by the way. I would if I had thought about it, but I haven't done it. So, you know, we're right now at a convergence of commemorating the debacle called COVID and commemorating the tragedy and the chaos of 9/11. And although both are, one has been quite a ways and hopefully does not occur again, both of them hopefully we don't occur, the challenge is this: the residual remnant realities. In my book, Trainwreck to Triumph, I bring up every now and then things that I felt like the Lord gave me coined phrases for. And one was the residual remnant realities. What remnants do we take into the next season, the next phase of life, the next relationship, the next situation? Many times is a residual or the residue that continues. So residual is something that we do once and it keeps on giving, the gift that keeps on giving, or the tragedy that keeps on giving. So my reality about this is, and I may have said this, we've now been doing this with me for years, so I could be repeating myself, but I'm a woman. Anyway, there's that. So I'm not even going to walk on that bridge, okay, right, Stephanie?
Are you sure?
Oh, I'm positive. I am positive, yes. I'm not sure of a lot of things, but trust me, it's my favorite to you. We're not going to talk about that. It's the analogy the Lord showed this to me, which is what happens to me, is the Lord shows me spiritual lessons in a physical, you know, reality and a physical experience. So I had these brand new sandals that I loved, and I was walking on my tile in my bathroom, And the house cleaner had been there, but that doesn't necessarily mean everything gets taken care of. And I noticed I was walking uneven, right? I was kind of, something was not working. So I take my shoe off and I look at the bottom of my shoe, and there had been a little bit of adhesive left from a price tag I tried to remove or label. And that adhesive that I did not think was on the shoe, was not my intention, was collecting everything. Back of an earring, a little bead from a necklace. I've got crazy hair, so hair, all that stuff. None of it was my intention to collect. None of it was an intentional thing that I wanted to happen, but it happened anyway. And so I really do believe. And so when I was looking at that, the Holy Spirit said to me, "What is the residue left on you?" And I thought, well, that's probably just a crazy thought that came into my head. That's probably really not meant for me, right? That's meant for somebody else. I'll probably talk about that someday, which I am. But unintended residue that I thought was off my shoe picked up good, bad, ugly. And here I was walking into the next appointment with things from the past that I did not intend to have with me. Does that remind you of anything? What does that remind you in your life? To the listeners and the watchers, I would say, in the audience rather, I would say you might want to make a note. What are the things that that brings up for you on a deeper level? Is it pain from the past? Is it an experience that the pattern keeps on repeating? You're with different people, different relationship, different jobs, different careers, different location, but something similar is happening. Well, I think we experience everything that we don't release. So today I really wanted to talk about healing. I wanted to talk about restoration and hope. So let's talk first about COVID. I want to talk about the scripture Colossians 3:25, and it says, "But to he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respecter of persons." There's no respecter of persons. So that just is carte blanche. That's like a period, not a comma, like we say. And so I'm looking at the situation with COVID. And the last time we were on, I was on a couple weeks ago, we talked about, that even though we weren't with our loved ones were not alone. I was with the part of COVID that we were isolated, that we were thrown in a room with a bunch of doctors with hazmat outfits, and it was pretty gruesome. But I still knew the angels were with me. I still knew God's presence was there. I still knew and heard God's angels. He would send people in. I call my angels. They were his servants, saying, "This woman you're going to work with is going to live and not die. Tell her." And when you're in a life and death situation and you hear, "This woman still has a calling on her life. Tell her I have called her. She will live and not die," and have that done by 10, 12, 15 people in a period of time when the doctors have given up on you, that's a big thing. That's a big thing. And so we know that that took place. I just wanted to reiterate that. So we have this situation with COVID. And some of this will be a little redundant. My husband does construction, and we went to an Airbnb, and he negotiated for us to stay in the Airbnb while he was repairing the outside area. So that was great, me and the dogs. And I had decided this was a timely thing. I made an appointment literally with the Holy Spirit and said, "This is not a freakish time. This is the right time. This is the right situation." It was during a particular group of Bible trainings that were going on. I isolated, I removed distractions. I made an, just like in Habakkuk, it talks about, I'm going to set myself on a wall and I will. That's how we work with God. We choose to set ourselves aside. We ask of him, and then he answers. And he met me in a unique and very special way. So this is also right at the time when it's being exposed, the debacle and deception of Fauci. I'll call him Dr. Fauci. Okay, whatever. But Dr. Fauci. and so having experienced much of his situation that he brought into our lives and was that whole situation, and then experiencing the Bible training at the same time, and just the anointing that was taking place, all those things together, right? Same timing, no accident, same, I believe it was an appointment. So I'm hearing this on the TV, and then I'm watching and really immersing myself, choosing to be present to the work of God in my life. And it is a choice. Sometimes it is willingness, and sometimes it's a choice. So I'm sitting there, and the Holy Spirit just ministered to me so profoundly. And he said this. He said, now that the deception has been is being exposed, I am lifting, I am releasing the ravages, the residual of COVID off of your mind, body, every part of your cells that is being released from. It was boom. And I know it was God because he's the only one that heals. And I know it was God because I know his voice. And immediately my spirit bore witness with that statement, and boom. I have not felt the same for 5 years after COVID, 6 years after COVID. I felt like part of me was still going through it. No matter what I did, I'm very nutritionally oriented. I'm very health oriented. I have sold nutritional products since the 70s. That's the 1970s for you that are really young, Ron. And so you people that parade as young people, and, you know, Stephanie and Craig, and I knew his voice, but more important and more important. And as well, I knew his power. I have not felt the same. I did not feel as well as I have felt since that moment. 5 years prior to COVID, went through a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, different things like that. Bless you, Paul. I now feel differently than I felt 5 years before. Mm-hmm. I will be 73 January 8th. Elvis and I celebrate every year. And you know, I'm saying, leave my blue suede shoes alone. Leave my shoes alone. But stay away from my shoes. But the thing is, it is real. So then today, I look at Facebook, and there's an author I know very well who's done a, written a lot of books. And he says, I'm suddenly, after 5 years after COVID, I check my, get my blood work done, and it's like whole new blood work. He had been on, you know, the whole thing, ventilator, the whole thing, nearly died, the whole thing. And he's feeling the same thing. And he said, out of the blue, my blood work is different. It's not like I've ever had. It's not like I had for years before COVID. So I'm hearing this happening. I believe this. I believe that whoever will attach to this will immerse themselves in what God is doing. I believe God across our world, if you're willing to have faith and believe, I believe God is rewarding those people. You know, there were some evil things done. No question. And whether you took the vax or you didn't, or whether you did all that, I'm a very purist person. And so I had my own feelings about that. I did not take the vax, but some did. That's okay. Whatever. But God is doing a thing. God is doing a thing.
Yeah.
And I believe he is lifting the damages of COVID off of people, and he is releasing it. And if something is tied to the deception that is being exposed, it's almost like a key in the lock. So I want to kind of throw that out. And I want to say this one thing first. If you're a member of the audience and this is resonating with you, I mean, we're here on behalf of God. We're here for you. Without you, we don't show up. There's no point, at least for me. I'm not coming to the party. Now y'all have a good time. I'm just saying now is the time to access the healing that is being provided in this moment, in this time frame. Not that it's not always there. I'm just saying in this time frame, there's a specific move of healing, I believe, in a lot of areas. We're going to talk about some other areas, but I wanted to let you know, if you're in the audience and this is something that you're still battling with, or this is something a loved one is battling with, I'm really encouraging you to really reach out with your faith. Because God's not doing just something for me and not everyone else. So amen. I want you guys to speak to that.
What do you think, folks? Well, you said something profound, which I totally agree with, and that is God is the healer. So I look at my job as actually hurting people. I cut them, I take things out, I rehook up things. And then if I were to scratch a car, would the car heal itself? No. But what I do, it happens.
Right.
It's not me, it's God.
Amen.
Yeah. God is a healer. God is a healer. Anyone Amen. Else?
Wait, Ron.
What do you think,
Ron?
Ron has himself muted.
Ron has himself muted.
He's in timeout, I guess.
There you go.
I think I kind of identify with some of the things you're saying. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You hear me?
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, you guys weren't nodding, so I get, you know, this is really deep. But this is the nod.
We were waiting for profound. We're waiting for profound on the edge of our seats. Go for profound.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that that you know we dealt back in the day, veterans coming back from war zones, firefighters who have been involved in a number of traumatic incidents, which happens to some guys more than others, and so they. So what we pretty much call PTSD was something that you know firefighters, police officers were dealing with also as well. And one of the things you mentioned, it kind of brings back those memories, right? Because one of the things they talk about is this sort of residual trauma, or the residual from trauma, mm-hmm. or what is the other one was residual symptomatically of something, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's this lingering thing that takes place, and the difficulty was, and I think still is, when it comes to our area of treatment, is that you have doctors and therapists who deal with the very prominent indicators, right, of the trauma, mm-hmm. but what mm-hmm. they miss is those underlying ones below the surface. So you have people who, I mean, and I experienced it for a while myself. Mm-hmm. involved in an incident, and then right after that was involved in held up by gunpoint.
Oh, wow.
But so you go through this process of supposedly working that out, but you can't figure out why the brain fog, why the memory lapses, mm-hmm. Why the emotional, you know, back and forth this way. And, you know, all those sort of residual things that fall outside the preview of counseling and psychiatry, right? Mm-hmm. I think those things are there because there's a spiritual component to trauma.
Right.
And when that spiritual component isn't addressed and isn't dealt with, if the therapy goes well, you think it does, and that some of the very prominent things are gone, but you just cannot get back to normal. Mm-hmm. And I find that very thing among some of everybody I know that experienced a traumatic situation with COVID. And then that's one side, right, who physically experienced that. But then we have the people who experience the trauma of the culture of COVID, who still haven't recovered from that. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, just like in the physical and the mental and psychological thing we had, there's that spiritual underlying part. I think the same thing happens with this wickedness and dark period mm-hmm. of COVID. There are people still, I think a lot of us are still suffering, still dealing with that. And if you're not willing to address the spiritual nature, it's never gonna be over. Well, at least I would say never, but there's these lingering effects that will go on for decades, I believe.
Let me speak to that and then open it, you know, back, Paul and y'all. Paul and y'all.
Paul and y'all.
Paul, y'all. It worked. Scientific data. Scientific data is showing, even as relevant as this year, as recent as this year, that the two major components to healing the symptoms of PTS is forgiveness and sleep. Getting that deep REM sleep and forgiveness, the number one thing. So there's very much a spiritual component to, then also the willingness to release, you know, and some of it is, you know, what we do, and then the touch of God just you know, yes, making a difference there. So I refer to PTSD because I work in an environment where, and PTS, now it's really known as PTS because they're not, they're changing it from to an injury from a dysfunction. But they haven't changed everything with the government. There's still the PTSD building. It's still, the, you know, all that kind of thing. Is, but they're very sensitive. There's a lot of sensitivity about it, is that I refer to it in communications because of some of the governmental things, is as symptoms of unrelenting stress and trauma with reoccurring and residual, you know, experiences. Because I have to say it that way because of the FTC and the governmental things that take place. And so I am seeing some amazing things happen in my own work as a coach. My book, Trainwreck to Triumph, is used a lot and endorsed by some very high-level people who work with PTS for first responders, veterans. And really, you've been through a bad divorce. You've been through a situation where you're now homeless. A lot of things called PTS, but it is very specific. It began to be noticed in the areas of the veterans and first responders. So I just wanted to mention that. And then, you know, Paul and Joe and Melba will let you chime in.
I'll chime in. The spiritual dimension, you know, it's that obviously something that Christians, they have a perspective on, you know, based on experience and education, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if I understand what you're saying, Terry, and you can help me unfog my brain, how's that sound?
Help me understand what I'm saying, okay? Okay. Would you do that first?
When you said, when you made the statement that God is doing a thing and he's lifting the residue, am I hearing you say that, is he making that available for all who will?
Mm-hmm. That's what I believe. Yeah, that's what I believe.
Okay.
Because it's not a respecter of people.
Right.
And so, I believe, yeah, that's what I believe.
Okay.
So healing is available.
As I've talked to people over a span of years, who desperately wanted healing, desired healing, mm-hmm. prayed to God every day that it would happen, you know, and maybe it fell through the crack because they wanted it to happen the way they wanted it to happen rather mm-hmm. than the way they wanted God to happen. You know, I can understand those kind of things. But there is I think, and even in my own heart, I confess, there is a longing and a yearning to see, and not just to bolster my faith. I would just like to see that openness to God, that those healings come. And absolutely in a maybe in a noticeable and remarkable way, that wholeness comes about. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I think my confusion is that when people desperately desire to be healed, and they're doing everything they know to do, they pray, they read the scripture, they talk to wise people, they ask for the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't happen, what happens then? What do we say to them? You know, mm-hmm. do we say it's a matter of forgiveness? Obviously, you know, there are situations where people you haven't forgiven. Do we say that it's just the residue that sticks because it just sticks? That's the nature of a broken mm-hmm. world. I mean, how do we handle that? I'm just mm-hmm. I'm looking for ways to communicate that to other people, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, I would say this. It happens differently for different people. Healing mm-hmm. is not always healing. Is not always experienced in the same way. For me, it was experienced in this way, but for mm-hmm. the 5 years before that, it wasn't experienced in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I came to a place in my own soul and spirit where I was releasing things I had held on to personally.
Mm-hmm.
And so that came at that time. It could be through a doctor or a surgeon. And, you know, there's different ways things happen. Mm-hmm. And some of it is the level of participation in doing the work. I'm not saying that everyone who's not healed has issues and spiritual challenges. I'm not saying that at all. Mm-hmm. But I am saying that the number one thing to look at, if you're asking for healing and not seeing physical healing to the level you're wanting, is to ask deeper. Jesus is healing. The work was done on the cross. There's nothing left. There was a completion of it on the cross. So my suggestion is looking at ourselves and saying, is there anything I'm not forgiving? And have I forgiven God? Now, preachers, including people I'm very related to, have a challenge when I say that. But the thing is, some people hold, deep down, hold resentment against God's choices, against God. Yes. Then ourselves, forgiving ourselves, and et cetera. And there's a path of healing. My path of healing on the day after COVID was sitting in a wheelchair, not remembering the book I wrote, and being on oxygen. I was barely, a year ago, being with me a year ago, I was not the sharpest cookie in the jar at all. I mean, I was not feeling, connecting, and feeling that. And so I don't know, that's between God and them. But that's the thing, they look for answers from others, but the answer is from God. The healing is from God.
You know, that really resonates too. It's something I'm thinking that's going to be so simplistic that at first you're probably going to say, what? But every time, as I was in the ministry, when I get up to preach in later years, I never missed it. I would walk to the pulpit with my Bible. And as I open it, I would say this simple prayer, Lord, get all of me out of the way and all of you in the way, that all they see is you, not me. And what I'm saying by that is, sometimes I've been with people dying of cancer, other things like this, who, right, like Paul was saying, I prayed for this. Why not? Why not? And very simply had to say, have you prayed for the peace that passes understanding? The peace that means that God knows your greatest joy may not be in what you're asking for this way until you see all that he has for you this way. And that's one of the reasons when I think of Craig, Dr. Thayer, when he said to me, I always take my hands and I pray God uses my hands. He has head knowledge and heart knowledge because he loves people. And he's got great gifted hands as a surgeon. But it's, as he says, it's God that uses the hands and the other to do it. And very simply steering the car slightly to the left back on that road there. As long as there's anything that's in the way between me and God, whatever it is, and I'm trying to listen, they just need to say, Lord, if you're not going to heal me, then will you give me a peace that lets me not only accept that? And I've had people say that. I've had one lady grab my tie and pull my head right down to her face and say, don't you cry for me, Pastor Joe. I've seen Jesus, and I don't need to be healed or my healing's forever. So I don't know exactly what that is, but that's one piece of the puzzle. I think that sometimes you can't explain something, and you can't explain that peace inside that nobody gets, no matter how much you read, how much you write, how much you hear. That peace only comes from him. And that's a very simple answer. Next.
Okay, I'm going to jump into this. I saw Ron has his Bible out, so I can't wait for what verse he's going to go with. So we'll see if we match. And I realize that I'm in an audience of men that have been to seminary and are Baptist trained. So I am putting my toes in. So I moved to the South 5.5 years ago, and the things that I have experienced and seen are nothing short of wild. There is no other way to describe them. And at first I was shocked and a little uncomfortable. And now I, every week, I'm like, Lord, what are you going to do? How are you going to show me? What is going to happen? I have seen miraculous healing over and over and over in front of me. And I don't, There isn't a formula, right? Like, Paul, I hear your question and I agree with it. And there are those that come and they yearn and they ask. And there's a few things I started scribbling down, which, Terry, you said some of them. So I think a lot of it comes down to forgiveness, which leads to bitterness. And oftentimes I see when people come wanting prayer or wanting healing, wanting freedom, They're very, very angry, and a lot of times they won't admit how furious they are at the Lord and at themselves. And guess what? God already knows.
Yeah, that's right.
As well, lay it out and tell him. There's a lot of hard that happens, and it's we don't understand it. How could a good, good God allow XYZ? And the reality is that we have choices, and those around us have choices, and the generations above us have choices, and there are consequences for those. And so you may be completely innocent, and yet here you are, like COVID, right? You didn't pick to get COVID.
Right.
So there are agreements that we make, there are beliefs that we make that are false. The enemy, all he does, he's a little deceiver. So someone close in your life when you were young said something to you, and you started believing that is true, and it wasn't true. But guess what? You lived it out your whole life. And so you've become very small. You're not small in the spirit. How does the Lord see you? Have you ever asked him, Lord, what do you call me? Lord, how do you see me? I think you will be profoundly shocked. And then the other is attacks. We should never be so short-sighted to think that it's all sweet and lovey-dovey here. This is a war. This is a war.
Right.
We are
right.
under attack. And so you may have been under attack from generational things before. Scripture supports that. You may be under attack because you're on the radar. And the enemy's like, oh, no, I don't want you free. Mm-hmm. Somebody's coming for you, right?
Right.
And so this, I think, goes back to us being constantly in relationship with the Lord and constantly doing church, which is doing life with other people and having accountability. So if you don't know how to do it, do you know anybody around you that can help you pray or that can say, hey, I see this. Can we give this to the Lord? Can we ask him what else he has for you? Because you're not actually bitter. You're not actually stubborn. So those are my thoughts. All I can say is being open and willing to the Lord. It's amazing what happens. And like that, is it the centurion, the one that has the son, and he says, help me with my unbelief. I believe, Lord, help me with my unbelief. Isn't that so relatable, right? And he said, I know I don't believe enough. How do I get there? Because the Lord, we actually can't get there on our own, right?
Yeah. You know, from a just a little personal testimony, I'll say this, that made a difference for me. True transparency out into the Netherlands of all the audience. I'm very tactical. I'm very like, you know, something needs to be done. Just I'm going to go do it. Let you know how it went. Boom, boom, boom. That's my whole. That's the very negative thing that I battle with, is trusting God enough to do it and me enough to shut up and not do it. I just was right. I was born. Oh, I'll give you a strategy, 5-point plan. Let's make it happen. I had gotten to the place in my own life and working with so many other people that there was some of my own devotion that felt dry. Some of my own devotional time felt dried. I felt dry and I didn't know how to prime that pump. I really didn't want to read scripture. I really, you know, it had lost the, not that I didn't want to read it, but it wasn't pulling me. You know, the difference from craving and just eating what is in front of you, that kind of thing. And so I knew enough to know that to find a teacher who taught on the word, that was it, that I could relate to. I wanted, you know, someone that we hear, you know, and I found someone who spoke, literally quoted the word, read the word, taught the word. We listened to it 30 minutes before bed. I listened to it in the morning. I listened to it. I would take notes. I put the effort in to really get the word on faith, on healing. And I wasn't seeking healing. I wasn't really seeking healing. I was seeking intimacy. Mm-hmm. I wasn't asking for healing. I was asking for intimacy. Mm-hmm. I had become conditioned, accommodating, and putting up with whatever was the thing. Because I didn't think there was going to be a release, an answer, or anything like that. I felt, but I knew one thing, I missed who I was, who I felt when I felt connected to God. I missed who I was. I missed me. I missed how I felt, how I loved, how I, that feeling of being present to the word. Mm-hmm. And so I started just force feeding, like with water. If you don't drink water, then you're not thirsty. So I forced myself to get thirsty for the word by feeding myself with the word in whatever way I could, whatever sermon I could, whatever. So that's what these people were speaking on, were additional support for what I had already been doing. So I think sometimes we have enough of the word, but we don't have all of the word. Enough is not a place to live.
Yep.
Enough is not a place to exist in God. And right now, one reason I was wanting to speak on this was there's a need for unity among our people to understand. Also, it goes into the people we forgive who, you know, made us into criminals because we believed in ivermectin or we didn't do the vax or whatever. There's a lot of sifting and a lot of shifting in relationships that took place that were just evil. They were divisive. They were, dividing families and people. I believe we have to come together on that, on forgiving. We have to go to the people, if you've held someone against something or you've defamed somebody, you need to go to that person, those people you talk to about that person too. Be a grown up. Go to the people and say, I thought this was the wrong situation. I thought I had the right to speak. I did not. I'm asking for your forgiveness for speaking, or I'm asking for their forgiveness for talking in the first place and dividing families and this kind of thing. Be a big person. Immaturity is just at an epidemic. You want to talk about a pandemic? Immaturity is large and living strong in relationships and et cetera. So that's part of it too. So I just want to say that just immersing in, and also, you know, I write articles for magazines, and I wrote an article about the completed work on the cross. And there is progressive atonement on the cross. And the last thing that took place on the cross, after everything else had been done, was healing, was physical healing. Didn't have to take place, but God wanted to make sure he had provided every single thing we needed in that part. And I believe we literally can pray for God to restore our DNA to become in alignment with the alignment of the DNA with Christ. We are his body. We eat. We have communion. We take in his body. We are one. And so to really take in the understanding around the completed work of the cross has to do with healing. It was very progressive. The iniquity taken care of, our sin taken care of, and our peace, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. That's reconciliation. And then there was healing. So I'll leave with that. And I'm not leaving, but I'll just let you all talk from that point. Oh, she's leaving. Okay. I'll just leave that. Being in physical meetings. Okay. I'm out the door.
Ron, you're on mute.
Yeah, go ahead, Steph. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Ron's on mute.
He was keeping track. That's me. I lost track. keep having this loud
vehicle. I got a remote going. So
I want to keep it on mute. Stephanie's right. I have my Bible there. I'm looking for Psalm 147:3, right? Said God heals. He's close to the brokenhearted. Psalm 34. What, did I get that wrong? No. Psalm 147 is where he heals the brokenhearted. Psalm 34, it's where he says he's close to the brokenhearted. In Isaiah 61, we're told that Jesus binds up the brokenhearted. And then in Revelation, we're assured again that on that day, right? On that day, he'll make all things right and new. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'll go back to, again, my traumatic days and, well, incidents that led to those initial traumas, which I have to admit, I didn't suffer as much as a lot of people, guys I knew. I somehow God gave me a gift where I was able to emotionally disconnect no matter how tragic the situation was. I don't know how they taught that, but it was one of those things that came natural to me. But anyway, all that said, so I'm the scripture is clear. God will God is close to. He'll heal broken hearts. Jesus will bind it up. And then I go back to Paul and say, is there a contradiction between what Paul's situation and what the scripture says? I say no. Paul says that I have this thorn in the flesh, and I asked three times, and God says, my grace is sufficient for you. He goes on later in the chapter, he talks about all the things he endured, the beatings, on and on. And then he says, which when I first read it, makes no sense, right? And it's pretty much like God has said before. So he says that if I'm to boast, I will boast in the things that show my weakness. And I boast in the things that show my weakness because God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, is who gets the praise when I boast in my weaknesses. So in my suffering and the residual things I have left from my trauma, those things are with me still. If I pray and God doesn't take them away, it still says he is sovereign and is for my good. Because as long as I have the residual thing there, it causes me to focus on my need for the Lord and my dependence on him. And the more I'm dependent on him, the more I trust him, the more and more I become like him. And all the pride and all the self-help things disappear. So that, will God heal? Is he close to the brokenhearted? Yes. How is he close? Because he continues to assure me, I am with you. I am with you, no matter what's happening.
Never leave you.
That's my two cents.
Yeah. Terry, you've got a special group you work with also that would line up in their hearts with what Ron's saying there and Steph has said all this. Mm-hmm. Mention a quick word of that as we watch our time.
Thanks, sure. Thanks, Ron. So one thing I have found is, I have a great affinity for veterans and first responders, which I didn't know why. And then I've realized, my uncle were all veterans and first responders. And I realized, so I have sought out to work with organizations that do some things for veterans and first responders and anyone that has a situation of need. So what I have found out, and I also have, I come from a, I have a lot of family history of Alzheimer's and dementia generationally in my family. So I was always, my mother died with Alzheimer's. I don't say she died of Alzheimer's. She had Alzheimer's and she died. She was also 96. So, yeah. But it made me very tenacious about what is available naturally that, I'm not saying we cure Alzheimer's, but I'm saying what is available naturally that can help people with trauma with the residual symptoms of the trauma. And so I have sought into some situations, and there's an organization that has a foundation that's run by a faith-based couple, and that seeks situations where there are homeless veterans or other people homeless, and answers their need, goes into those homeless situations, prays with them, works with them, takes them a bucket of essential needs being answered. I'm talking socks, underwear, snacks, water, shower hat, raincoat, and etc. Things that they need to, if they're on the street, and then they pray with them and they work with them and they give them some nutritional product that is helping people naturally shore up their body to be able to accept healing in their body. You know, sometimes it's how you feel about your life that is holding people, that holds people back. So anyway, the organization is here. You would go to Rise, R-I-S-E, for veterans.com. And as you scroll down, there will be questions answered of people that are in need. But then there are also places they can go to the foundation and find out information. And we're asking for people that are in need, to let us know. We have people that are, we help them feel better right there on the spot. And then pray with them and fulfill some of the needs that they have, meet them. And we're having people, amazing things happen. To me, a miracle may be meeting someone at the place they are at the time they're ready to talk and to pray.
That's right.
But meeting, just like Jesus did, he met their physical needs. If he hadn't fed the people, I don't know if they'd still been sitting there listening, how long they would have stayed. I'm hungry, dude.
Not, not two more chapters anyway.
Yeah, opens the door.
Right, and so I just wanted to share this with you. You can reach me at Rise, R-I-S-E, for veterans, at gmail.com, and that talk to me personally about what you have of need or what you're looking for, and I can share with you how we help. Or if you're wanting to help, you can reach me there, riseforveterans at gmail.com, or you can go to riseforveterans.com and look into what is available. I have people that have been first responders who I have worked with. I coach with people around PTS with my book and et cetera. I have literally gotten phone calls from people who have some serious trauma-related symptoms. And trauma embeds in the cells. And they have had challenges with everything from lack of capacity to focus, management of stress, and that kind of thing. So what happens, this man called me and he said, it's been 2 days since you gave me something that would help. And I'm not talking about injections or meds or anything. And I'm feeling a difference. I'm sleeping.
Terry, that
I want to say one thing about the scripture.
You got 60 seconds, Terry.
Okay. I just want to say, so it's riseforveterans.com, but you brought up a scripture, peace that passes understanding.
Amen.
A preacher I heard said this the other day. He said, the truth of that scripture is when you have the peace that passes understanding, you no longer seek to understand.
Amen.
Seek to believe. I'll leave you with that.
That's a good one. Seek to believe. Amen. Terry, that's great. Everybody has that information there. Stephanie, can you take 30 seconds and share with the folks?
We love you guys. Thanks for hanging out with us. You can always go to bbsradio.com/raising expectations. All the goodies are there.
Amen. Find out what's going on with everybody. And ladies and gentlemen, go to bbsradio.com and see the good things that are happening there. And we want to thank Doug Newsom again. Great to have you with us and helping us tonight, Doug. God bless you, brother. And we will be praying for all of you this week. We're kind of on our schedule. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. We count it a privilege and an honor to call you family. And we'll get Terry back on that rotation pretty quick here. Great things coming in the fall. Mark your calendar. Pray for us each week. And we'll pray for you. Leave us a note. God bless and keep you till then.
Pray for the midterms.
Look forward to seeing you. Yeah, and don't forget, look that up. You've got it written there. And pray for some of our guys and gals are going to be on different things happening in the next couple of weeks, 3 weeks. Be praying for them, too, as they venture into some things. So God's good. He's on the throne, and most of all, he lives in my heart. So we'll see you all same time next week. Listen to the words of our song. They tell you how we feel. God bless and keep you.
Bless you, guys.
Hi, y'all.
Before you leave the moment, before the day moves on, carry one bright promise. The hope is not gone. From Pastor Joe and Melba Schofield and the voices gathered here, Stephanie Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer, Dr. Paul Hall and Ron Greer. Keep raising expectations in your home and in your heart. Keep raising expectations. Let faith become the start. For family, freedom, faith and future. For wisdom, courage, truth and grace. We go from good to better. With a brighter road to clear. Keep raising expectations in your home and in your heart. Keep